Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Empower Your Life Summit. I am so happy that you are here to get information to help you empower your own life on your life journey, because we know we can use all the help we can get, and there are so many people that have lived a lot of life. They've had lots of experiences that we personally might not have had, and this way, in listening to them and hearing what they've experienced and learning about the things that they've learned, maybe the practices, guidances, techniques that they use in their life to be more empowered and more connected in all of life, maybe you can do that too, and I know that's why you're here today. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this summit and the publisher for Powerful You Publishing, and we are so excited to announce the launch of this book, Empower Your Life, and this summit is here to introduce you to the authors who have submitted their stories in this book. So I know you're here today to listen to Jane Del Piero and her topic, The Unexpected Gift of Loss, Awakening to Life. And I'm looking forward to talking with her and hearing what she's got to say. And first going to read her introduction, and then we'll get started talking with Jane. Jane Del Piero is a medicine woman, modern-day shaman, acupuncturist, nutritionist, sound healer, and an ascension and soul path transformational guide. She helps individuals heal everyday aches and pains, then dive deeper to facilitate a personal journey that allows them to step into their own power and truth by releasing self-doubt, limiting beliefs and fears, and old patterns and behaviors that no longer serve them. Jane is also a co-host of the Wild Women's Circle in Telluride, Colorado, the creator of Sacred Hoop, a monthly shamanic and ceremonial class, and a Kundalini Tantra yoga instructor. Jane, I'm happy to talk to you today. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. And I really am excited to hear what you've got to say today, because I know that, gosh, you know, I feel your energy even as we talk today over these phone lines, and it's amazing. So let's start with something that happened to you when you were younger. You had a very profound thing happen when you were a child. Will you please share that with us, a little bit more about that, what happened when you were a little girl who took her mother to visit a teacher from the past life?
Yeah, I would love to. When I was a little girl, at about 5.5 years old, I started having very vivid dreams. And I would wake up every morning and at the breakfast table tell my family about my adventures and my dream world. And I was very, very clear about the people that were in my dreams. And every night there would be the same man in my dreams, a man named Santomino, who I believe was either a Native American or possibly a Central American or South American teacher of mine from a past life. We were living in the Wild West in our dreams, and I was near the Telluride region where I live now. And this went on for over a year. And at one point during that year, my grandmother was coming to visit us. So we were going to a town called Grand Junction, Colorado, which is about 2.5 hours from Telluride, where I've lived most of my life. And I began to tell my mother every morning for a few weeks before we left for Grand Junction to get my grandmother that Santomino was going to be waiting for me, and I had to stop by his house because he wanted to talk to me and I needed to get to see him again. And my mother just thought I was just being very, you know, have a vivid imagination and telling these wild stories. Well, on the day that we actually were driving to Grand Junction, I was giving my mother very specific directions to this man's house, and she started to get a little bit worried or concerned as we were driving down the highway towards Grand Junction, and all of a sudden here pops up the street sign that I had been telling her on the highway, and I said, well, we have to turn there, and I told her how far down the road we would have to go and that there would be a two-story yellow house and that Santomino would be waiting outside his house at the white picket fence for me. And at this point, my brother and sister are getting really excited because the story's going on, and we're all, you know, very young children at this point. And my mother decides to go down the road, and as we're driving down the road, she sees the yellow house on the left side, and there's a man walking out towards the fence as we're arriving. And she said, I was out of the car so fast as she slowed down, and I ran to the gate of his fence. And we hugged each other like we'd known each other forever. And he began to talk to me in a foreign tongue. I believe it was probably Spanish or Native American. My mother couldn't quite remember because she was in utter shock at this point. And she said that he gently held my head and talked to me for a little while. And then he looked up at her and he said, no matter whatever happens to Jane, she will be okay. She will remember what she needs to remember, and she will do her service here on the earth, and she will be okay. And my mom at this point was like, literally couldn't understand what was going on. And we, you know, we stood there and talked to him for a while. My mom got a little more information. And then we left to see my grandmother. And my mom had been raised very religious in parochial school and stuff in Chicago. So when her mother was there, we didn't talk about it too much. It just was a little bit off for my mother and my grandmother. But after that point, every time the phone would ring in my house, I would tell my mother who was on the phone. I used to tell her who was coming to visit, who would knock on the door before they got there. I began really scaring my mother and freaking her out in some ways because of what was going on. And then this all stopped when my father got sick and my father passed away suddenly. And then everything stopped. My dreams, everything in my life pretty much stopped, the stories. And I changed for a little while. But that experience has always stuck with me because that teacher was the first teacher that I ran into from a past life, and then many more were to come.
Wow. I'm sitting here in awe. I'm thinking, what an interesting thing for you as a child first to experience it. I mean, you don't know any different, right? You don't know that it's different, and people don't have these experiences every day. Your mom, on the other hand, knew that this isn't like regular activity for kids, you know, or anybody for that matter. It's something that perhaps a few people have experienced in their lives. So what an interesting thing for your mom to be dealing with at the same time. And I guess, you know, so as you look back at that, you know, you said your father died and you kind of forgot it. When did that come back to you again? Or when were you aware of it again?
I think the information started pouring back into me once I started really listening to music. Because music was one of the things that saved my soul. It saved my heart. My father had a brain tumor and had cancer, and he ended up committing suicide because he couldn't deal with the pain that he was going through, and he started losing a lot of weight and got very sick. And I found him after school one day when I was 7. Mm-hmm. And at that point, everything stopped and changed in my life. And I shut down who I was. And all of a sudden, when I was probably about 22, the 7-year-old popped back out. And she started emerging at the, of all places, at the Grateful Dead shows. And wow. I was standing at a Grateful Dead show, and one night Jerry Garcia was playing a song called He's Gone. And there was a light shining from Jerry Garcia right onto me. And they were singing about somebody who's died and passed on. And during that song, all of a sudden, I was transported back to Telluride. And I saw my father standing on the top of Ajax Peak, and I was with him. I was a little girl, and he was the age he was when he passed. And he asked if I could forgive him. And I said, I can forgive you. I'm sorry this ever happened. And in that moment, I started to dance around because I could hear the music again, and a star shot out of my body. And then my father was released from purgatory from me. And he could go on. He could be moved through to the next world. Yes.
Amazing.
So it was through the music that it all started to open up.
Yeah, music is an amazing tool. It's incredible. Jane, this is just fascinating. And I think that, you know, for me personally, and I think a lot of people in this home, we look at other people in our lives, we think we know them, and then there are things that we can't possibly know about people that have happened, you know, and we don't know that, and we make maybe judgments about people and things like that. I find your story so fascinating, and I know it got you kind of into the work that you're in today. I'd love if you would share a little bit about your personal journey and how it led you to where you are today.
Sure, I'd love to. Unfortunately, my childhood was filled with extreme traumas, including my father's cancer and suicide. I had many losses. I could always find the friend that would die in a car accident or the person who wasn't going to be on the planet very long. And we moved a lot as a child. It broke me down to a point where I felt totally unlovable and worthless, and it was a pattern that I was vibrating in my life and in my existence every day when I would walk through the world. And it was music, the vibration that began to that heal the wounds within me, because there was freedom of movement in there. And I'll never forget the first time I heard Bob Dylan's Queen Jane at the Grateful Dead. And the song, it says, when your mother sends back all of your invitations, and your father to your sister, he explains that you're tired of yourself and all of your creations. Won't you come see me, Queen Jane? And in that moment, I knew that there was something about me, if I let the music heal me, that I could actually use that to change everything that was going on. And I could create my whole new world. And it was through the music, really, that I found that safety. And it healed, the sounds were healing to my heart and my soul. And then the music led me to studying plant spirit medicine, because I went in and started studying botany and how you could use plant medicine instead of Western medicine to heal everyday colds, flus, aches, pains, whatever. And from the plant spirit medicine, I moved on to massage school. And then from massage school, I started acupuncture school. In acupuncture school, I started because a friend of mine had died of pancreatic cancer. And he was the lead guitarist of a band named Widespread Panic. And I was very sad with the death of my friend Mikey Hauser. And I was at acupuncture school, and it was my first or second week there. And all of a sudden, somebody walks by me and hands me a flyer. And on the flyer, it says sound healing. So I started taking sound healing classes. And the next thing I knew, I was telling all of my musician friends that I knew that I did sound healing. And then I started working on musicians and rock bands, doing the healing work that I did. And each time, everything that was a trauma or any experience in my life, it kind of opened up a new avenue for me, as long as I was honest with myself about what was going on. And like you had said, we don't often know what people are experiencing or the traumas they're going through. And even in this little town where I live, most people have no idea who I am or what I've been through. It's very much something that I don't share openly with a lot of people, but in my work, I share it with people who are ready to experience the life shift that they need to have. Because in telling my story, I can actually help people acknowledge what their story is and what they're here to learn from it. Because we're all here on a mission, and life is the school and love is the lesson.
Wow. And so do you feel like you went through the suffering, the pain and sadness and all of the loss that you went through in order to open this part up in you so that you could step into your role as the healer that you are today?
Yeah, I believe that it was a lot of karma for me to also clear karma from past lives and to help to stand in my power as a healer. And to, as healers, we often have to go through a lot of trauma, and as shamans, you go through a lot of dark night of the soul experiences so that you can actually know what other people are living. We can bear witness to what their experiences are because we've been there. And it makes it that much easier. It's like when you go to an AA class and you have your sponsor, they've been the alcoholic, so they know what it's like to be on that path. Now, that's not my path, so I can't help people in that realm. It's not something I've dealt with. I don't deal with alcoholism. But I have dealt with a lot of loss, extreme traumas, cancers, you know, divorces, you know, parents, these kinds of things, and breakdowns of the family structure, which is happening a lot in our world today. So I can help people realize that this is all going to be gone in a blink of an eye, and that we're here actually to learn to fall in love with ourselves.
Beautiful. I love that. You know, Jane, we all learn things throughout our lives. What would you say is the number one principle that has had the most dramatic impact on your life?
Faith. Keep the faith, because faith sees the invisible, it believes the unbelievable, and it receives the impossible. Faith will move mountains, and I have always had to hold on to that faith more than anything, because it's with all my heart and soul, no matter what, how painful or terrible the traumas were, I knew that I had protection. I knew that I had God on my side. I knew that I had angels, Archangel Michael. I knew I have people supporting me and watching me and allowing me to experience life at its fullest and every emotion that we're here to experience as humans, because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I chose a very intense human experience. And that's okay, because my spirit can handle it. But for me, it's just holding on to that faith and knowing that it can move mountains, because no matter what, I know that once in a while we can get shown the light in the strangest of places if we look at it right. And it's looking for that light in the weirdest experiences of our life and the most traumatic experiences that have allowed me to hold on to that faith more than anything.
I love that. And you mentioned, so you have faith in God, you have faith in Archangel Michael. What other things do you have faith in?
I have faith in gosh, I believe in nature spirits and fairies, and I believe in the ascendant masters, and I believe that we have people from past lives that are helping us, and teachers and guides, and that we will run into our soul family, and that our family and our tribe is much bigger than we could ever imagine on this planet Earth. And sometimes we will think that it's just in the small community that we live in. And oftentimes it's much grander than that. And with all of these different teachers and guides that I have, I even contact my father. I'll contact dead friends. I just talk to them in my head and ask them for guidance and direction. So I really use all the possible tools of teachers, guides, wisdom carriers that I can, because I believe in them all. It's just kind of, I'm an open book to that.
Yeah. And you've got experiences that obviously confirm that for you as well.
Yeah, I was very blessed because I've had experiences with running into teachers from past lives. And Santomina wasn't the only teacher. I was in Boulder, Colorado, where I was studying. And a friend of mine had asked me to go to a women's circle in Boulder at a teacher's house, my teacher's Ann Drucker's house. And I said, oh, all right. And we went, and there was a Mayan woman named Miss Beatrice Waite speaking that day. And she was talking about Mayan medicine and the Mayan calendar and being a 13th generation Mayan healer. And she kept staring at me during this talk. And I was like, well, that's weird. And, you know, I just smile at her. And we got up to leave. My girlfriend was collecting all of her things. And I went to stand at the fence, getting ready to walk out of the backyard. And Miss Beatrice walked over to me, and she began to talk to me and thanked me for coming and said it was really nice to see me again. And I said, I've never met you before, but it was a, you know, awesome. It was a pleasure to be here today. She said, no, my child, you were at my house when you were 7 years old in Belize. And I said, I've never been to Belize. And she told me that when I was seven, I stood outside of her gate and I would walk around her fence at her yard and play with all the plants. And then she said, when you were about 16, you sat on my porch, and then you sat there for a few years. When you were 22, you came inside the house. And then she said, what happened when you were 7? I said, my father died. What happened when you were 16? My stepfather died. What happened when you were 22? My best friend died. And we began to talk. And the next thing I knew, I spent 13 years doing an apprenticeship with Miss Beatrice and studying Mayan medicine and Mayan healing and going to Belize and studying at Ikcha with Rosita Arvigo and Miss Hortense and running into teachers that I had known from other places and other times.
Wow. That's incredible. You know, I love that. It's so neat to hear those things. I want to say a little bit jealous because I haven't had good experiences quite like that. And yet, you know, obviously we all have our own experiences here in this lifetime. You know, so Jane, you have had all these years of experience working and studying with shamans. Will you tell us what the experiences have taught you?
Yeah, the most powerful thing that the shamans and all these healers have taught me is that we don't always have to be right next to that person to work with them. You don't have to make an appointment to book it in their office or anything. A lot of these people that I've worked with and a lot of work I do is distance healing. And the basic premise of shamanism is the return to nature, because nature is my church and love is my religion. And this beautiful earth is our temple. And within this temple, we can heal everything. Because just even by spending 20 minutes to 2 hours in nature every day, it changes our vibration and it heals us. So what these experiences have taught me is that there's an importance in honoring and respecting all the traditions and traditional healing methods and keeping this magic alive for the next 7 generations, because we're removing ourselves from the traditions, and which is sad because these teachers and wisdom carriers hold ancient knowledge. They hold all the secrets to healing humanity, because there's magic in shamanism, and there's magic from the Mother Earth and all the dimensions of time and space. And shamanism has showed me that spiritual healing will bring us back in alignment with our true nature, and that's when we can realize that this earth is our temple, and we will begin to clean our temple. It's not an amusement park for us to just throw trash around in and pollute with plastics and take whatever we want. This is a sacred temple that we're living in. And as humans, if we wake up and remember that, we can really change the earth and what's going on here. For it's time for us to be really authentic and be in our truth.
Love it. Love it. You know, Jane, this has been great. So eye-opening, so interesting, and so moving for me. And also, you know, I feel that our listeners are really benefiting from everything you've said today. How can they reach you if they'd like to reach out to you?
I'll give you two contact sources for me. My best source is my website, which is the World Wide Web, Lovelight, LUVLIGHT.net, Lovelight.net. Or my email, which is Jane, J-A-N-E, at lovelight.net, Jane at LUVLIGHT.net. And I would like to offer all of the listeners a free gift, a Theta healing session, a 20-minute session where I do distance healing. And you don't have to, like I said, ever meet with me. All we'd have to do is talk on the phone, and we can set those up. You can, you know, contact me, and we can offer those sessions for people. And I would do some baby healing, which is a form of shamanic healing and form of work to erase limiting beliefs that are holding people back.
Beautiful. What a wonderful gift. Thank you so much for that, Jane. I know that our listeners will definitely be in touch with you. So that's awesome. What a gift. And, Jane, you know, it has really been a pleasure talking with you today. I love your story in the book, Empower Your Life. It gets a little bit more into your journey there. And like you said, you know, by sharing your story, you know that it will help to heal other people. So we are so grateful for you for doing that and being a part of this whole project. Thank you so very much.
Oh, and thank you so much. I'm just so honored to be a part of this group. And I can't thank you enough for everything you've done, all your time and effort, and the magical whole program that you've set up for everybody. And I really hope that everybody takes advantage of the free ebooks and summits, and that can help support us on the book release day also.
Me too, because it's a wonderful project. There's great energy behind it, wonderful women attached. There are 21 authors in the book, plus the woman, Joanne White, who wrote our foreword, who's an incredible being as well. And so it's really a wonderful project. So all of you listeners, thank you all for being part of this. We really appreciate it. Continue to listen to the summit. There's so much great information here for you, so much healing, so much knowledge, so much stuff that will help you in your own life to empower yourself. And be sure to buy the book on launch day, which is March 20th. You can go to our website that day. There will be a link in the email. We'll remind you. There's a link right there to get the book. And then you'll receive lots of free gifts from our partners and authors that are also incredible to up-level your life experience. So thank you, everybody, for doing what you're doing. Be sure to share this information, because as you empower your own life, you will help to empower others and be the example for them, too. Thanks so much. Have a beautiful day, everybody.